This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Sadon swings and misses. He's gone. The ball game is over. The Red Sox drop 2 of 3 in San Diego. Oh, what might have been out west. The Red Sox totally frustrated. A series, a game decided by 2 or 3 moments that did not go their way.
A nightmare for the Red Sox.
Time now for the Christian Arcan Show.
Yo, it's all Arcan.
On WEEI.
All right, good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcan Show here, an abbreviated Christian Arcan Show, if you can believe it. I know, I can barely myself. As the Red Sox continuing their West Coast road trip, not really West Coast, they were on the West Coast over the weekend. They're now in Houston, South Coast, I guess, taking on the Astros. Garrett Crochet's on the mound. That's the good news. The bad news is, as you just heard in both the tone and tenor from Will Fleming there at the end of that Padres game, that was a rough weekend. Saturday and Sunday were a couple of rough losses for your Boston Red Sox. And not anything that's going to have me, you know, hitting the panic button Bob Lobel style tonight. I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to say that I think Alex Cora is a bad manager because I disagreed with how long he left Giolito out there. Bayo, I thought, was okay. Giolito with those walks was ridiculous, and then it happened to Bayo too. Bayo and Murphy walking in runs, walking the bases loaded. I don't know what's up with this team and the walks all of a sudden. I hope if Crochet comes out starts walking people, I'm going to be very concerned. I don't know exactly what it is with this group sometimes, but I feel like they all kind of get hot at the same time. They all tend to kind of cool off at the same time. You know, you see it with the batting order. You saw it with various guys in the lineup. You're seeing guys cool off now. Rafael is really cold. Guys like Duran and Story are still hitting, but you kind of forget what this team looks like when things aren't firing on all cylinders, when a 7-game win streak happens, or when they, you know, go 10 games over 500 before the break, or anything like that. Like, those are all good indicators of a team that still has a lot going for them, of course, and a lot of things that they don't really need to worry about, but still a couple of boxes that still need to be checked here with this team. And that's not necessarily with the roster or anything else. I'm over that. We should all just get over that. The roster's not going to be changing in any real way, although there were some moves made today, which we'll get into here in just a minute. David Hamilton getting optioned down to Worcester, as was Murphy, who walked in a run last night, which I was surprised by that. We'll talk about the people who are coming up in their steads, but before we do that, I want to throw open the phone lines at 617-779-7937. We don't have a lot of time here, so if you'd like to jump on, we do for the first time in a while on a game night have some time for you to call in. Usually what happens is I have like 8 minutes. minutes. That's not time to take any phone calls, and I couldn't even if I wanted to, because Stiz back there has to dump out of the delay. So I can't trust you Red Sox fans not to come on and yell and scream and say something that's going to get us all in trouble. So for those reasons, we don't do it. But tonight, we'll make an exception, and we'll throw open the phone lines here. We'll have headlines at 6:30, and we'll get to your phone calls early and often here throughout the course of this hour before we hand it over to Red Sox pregame, which comes your way right around 7:15. So, with the Sox and Crochet going tonight, there is a feeling in the air, I think a strong one, that this is going to be a good outing at the very least. And Crochet, I think, has proven that, you know, you're not dealing with a guy who is an ace in name only. You're talking about a guy who goes out there and wins every single start. I mean, lately it's been every single start. He's the most wins in the majors right now, tied for the most with Freddie Peralta. He can be the first 14-game winner if he picks up a win tonight. 9 straight decisions without a loss. He has won, or 9 wins over 11 straight starts without a loss. He's won each of his last 6 starts, and he's coming off of a strong start against Kansas City. And not only that, the Red Sox tonight are going to be going up against the guy who's making his first start this year in Christian Javier. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and this is the first time anyone's going to see him at all this year. And he's a pretty good pitcher. It's not like he stinks or anything. And the Astros are getting a bunch of guys back. They're getting Lance McCullers, J.P. France, Luis Garcia is supposed to be coming off IL this month for them. So this should be a big month and the start of a big month here for the Houston Astros, just in terms of having arms out of that rotation and potentially out of the bullpen if they need them, and they're going to have to make some roster decisions around that. And Javier coming out tonight, probably going to be on a pitch count, I'd say around like 70 to 80 pitches if I had to guess. That's around where he was in his last couple of rehab starts. So, all that to say this, winnable game here for the Red Sox. Should be an absolutely winnable game. You have the pitching matchup advantage by a lot. And you have a team that I think in those last couple of games in San Diego should be feeling frustrated right now about how they performed offensively, certainly over the course of the last 2 games. And I know that's including Roman Anthony and his big double to send the game into extra innings on Saturday, but sandwiched around that were a couple of big strikeouts with the bases loaded. And listen, I'm not going to talk too much more about Roman Anthony and the deal. I think I've said all I had to say. I think my opinion about it is about as measured as I'm going to have it. I mean, I do think he could have held out for more money. I don't think it was a terrible deal for him, and I think it was a great deal for the Red Sox. And all in all, I just don't really see, you know, like, what people miss about this, and you can even accuse me of missing it because I didn't really emphasize this, but the arbitration schedule with baseball players age 21 and under is really punishing. I mean, it takes a long time before these kids can actually cash in, which is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that he could have gotten out of that schedule earlier and cashed in further if he had waited and held off on signing this deal, but in doing that, he would have been getting nickel and dime and probably taken to arbitration every year. It's the Red Sox after all, and, you know, if he had turned this down, that may have been the fate that he would have been going for, and that's, you know, a fraction of what he'd be getting. You know, it just depends on what you're willing to sacrifice and how soon you think you're going to be able to go out there and cash in. And for Anthony, it was really just the difference between about like 2 years. So I'm not going to make a federal case out of this. I do think it's worth pointing out that in a couple of years, he may get bothered by it and say, hey, you know, this is when my arbitration schedule would have run out and I could have cashed in now. And here I am still making $16 million while everybody, you know, in the league, in the outfield, who's worth a damn is making at least $20-25 million. I could see that maybe becoming a problem, but you know what? That's 2028, 2029's problem. We're in 2025, and this kid needs to stop striking out with the bases loaded. That's the main problem right now. And I don't expect that this is going to be a major issue for him, okay? He has proven that he can come up in big-time clutch situations, even at his young age, and deliver. He did it later on in the game on Saturday. He did not do it last night, obviously, but he's not the only one. Those Padres relievers struck out 3 straight batters. It wasn't just him. Rafaela struck out too. He is really slumping right now. And while I've said before that Trevor Story is kind of the bellwether of this team in a lot of ways. Me and Fleming have talked about this a lot, Bragg. And I think that, you know, Story is a guy that when he's going well, you have a very direct correlation to how well the team's going. Rafaela's getting to be that way too. Rafaela, when he cools off, the team cools off. And when he's hot, the team's hot. I feel like him and Story, maybe more than almost any other guy, because Jarren Duran's kind of hot all the time, whether the team's winning or not. You know, Alex Bregman, for the most part, he's usually, whether the team's winning or losing, he's producing, that type of stuff. Garrett Crochet, whether it's hot or cold, he's producing. But, you know, there's some guys who they really kind of dictate the fortune and the tempo of this team in a lot of ways. Rafael and Story are two of those guys right now. Story's been hitting well. And I think a big part of the reason why the Red Sox have been able to, you know, stay afloat here lately and go on that seven-game win streak was because of Trevor Story. But, you know, it can't just be him. It can't just be one guy. It can't just be one, you know, pitcher carrying you. It can't be one hot streak and then you go back into the toilet. Like, you just, if this team wants to be serious, if they want to be a serious team in the American League, then they're going to have to show the type of consistency that keeps teams up in the standings and up in the wild card. And so far, you know, they've gotten there and they've established themselves, but you can't really rest on your laurels at all. If you do, a team like the Mariners are going to sneak up behind you like they just did and take over that first wild card. And then all of a sudden here comes Cleveland. And then all of a sudden the Yankees and Aaron Judge is back. And, you know, before you know it, you're right back there sweating out these games, sweating out the magic numbers and the wins and the losses and how many games back you are. And no one wants to be in that position. The Red Sox certainly don't. Alex Cora certainly doesn't. This is the type of team and the type of situation and setting that they should be not resting everybody and, you know, fixing their five-man rotation so that it's all set up and ready for the playoffs. They're not that good. They're not that far ahead, and they're not that much better than everybody else. But they are, I think, one of the better elite American League teams. I mean, I think they've proven that they have the ability and have shown that when they're on, that that's what they are. That's what they're capable of. And it was a little jarring to see them go out there and have some of these same problems pop back up against the Padres. A Padres team, by the way, that was playing a little fast and loose themselves. I mean, what was that on Saturday? Manny Machado with the hidden ball trick, and the guy stands on the mound in the middle of the hidden ball. It's lucky that that rule exists, because I certainly didn't know about it. I was like, what the hell's going on out there? He didn't balk. Oh, actually, yeah, he did. Okay, well, I learned something today. It was one of those type of situations there, and they couldn't end up cashing in on that one. So, you know, here you are. Red Sox now, I think, still have a very good chance of maintaining their spot. I think they should be in a good situation here tonight with Garrett Crochet. But again, you know, I mean, if this team suddenly forgets how to drive in runs, if suddenly they're loading the bases and then striking out three straight times, and suddenly the hot streak becomes a cold streak, well, listen, that's the problem with a streaky team. That's why you don't want to be a streaky team. It's great when you're on a hot streak. Yeah, everybody's living the high life. Everybody's kicking their feet up, you know, cracking a cold one. Yeah, hot streak. But when you're a streaky team, the streaks go back the other way. The pendulum swings the other way. And what I was hoping for is that around the deadline and certainly around the All-Star break is that this team would take the preventative type of measures that a contending team should make to stop them from being just a streaky team. You know, you go on your hot streaks, you cool off a little bit, and you don't go in the toilet. We'll see. We'll see how far this thing stretches out. It shouldn't be a prolonged cold streak. As I said, they have a clear advantage here tonight in the pitching matchup against the guy who has not made a start all year and who's going to be on a pitch count. You got Arrighetti going tomorrow, who's not that great. Brown's pretty good going up against Buehler. Don't love that pitching matchup. But after that, it's Miami for three. You got Baltimore. You got the Yankees, who you've been dominating. We'll see if that continues here at the end of the month. And then Baltimore again, Pittsburgh, Arizona, the A's, you know, like teams that beatable teams. You know what has now suddenly become a lot more interesting here, which I wasn't really thinking about a couple of weeks ago, is that Cleveland series to start off September. The Guardians, don't look now, but they're right there knocking on the door. They are right there on your heels. And Seattle has already passed you. And the Yankees just got Judge back, and I think are going to start probably winning some games, too, against the teams that they play. So there's really no time to rest. There's no time to say, that game's a game you can give away. Big deal. Let's rest the bullpen. You got to rest the bullpen. I understand that. Sure. But you can't leave your guy out there to just walk in a million runs, Alex Cora. You know, like you can't. It can't happen. Those type of losses can't happen. Not against teams with winnable games and winnable situations. You can't be giving them away. You can't be giving away outs. You can't be giving away runs. And that's been a problem for this team for a lot of this year. And hopefully now what we're going to see here is a reset of sorts. And I think it can start tonight. You know, you bodied this team at Fenway. And now you're in Houston, and they've won a couple of series since you last saw them. The Houston Astros, they won four out of their last six games. They're not sitting here, you know, some punching bag in the league right now. They're going to be ready for you, and they're going to remember how that series went. But the good news is the Red Sox have the pitching advantage, I'd say, at least tonight. And going forward, we'll see how it goes with Rigetti and May and Buehler and everybody else. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's early here. We only have 1 hour, so I'll get to the phones early and often if you'd like to chime in and sound off on anything you you think about this series coming up here. I have some Patriots thoughts to get to as well. I was talking with Andy and Fitzy over there about the Orlovsky list, the top 10 list here for the quarterbacks in the NFL. Drake May not making a lot of appearances on it. I'll discuss that with your phone calls. First, here's Dan Ball sticking around for a little bonus baseball. Dan Ball here. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. After dropping 2 of 3 against the Padres, the Red Sox road trip continues tonight as the Red Sox open up a 3-game series against the Astros. First pitch at 8:10, Garrett Crochet will start against Christian Javier, who is making his season debut after recovering from Tommy John surgery. Here's your lineup for tonight as Roman Anthony leads off. He is your DH, with Alex Bregman at third, Jaron Duran in left, Trevor Story at short, Willy Abreu in right, Roman Gonzalez at second, Abraham Toro is at first, Seydon Rafaela back at center, and Carlos Narvaez is back in the lineup. He is your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Mass Mutual pregame show with our guy Christian Arcan is tonight at 7:10, and Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo have the call of the series. From earlier today, the Red Sox called up left-handed pitcher Giovanni Moran from AAA Worcester. Also, catcher Ali Sanchez, whom the Red Sox claimed off waivers from the Blue Jays, will be active for tonight's game. The corresponding moves, David Hamilton and Chris Murphy, have both been optioned down to AAA, with Nick Birdie being DFA'd to open up a 40-man roster spot. The Patriots beat the Washington Commanders 48-18 in their preseason opener at Gillette on Friday. New England returned to the practice field today for a session that was closed to the public. The Patriots head to Minnesota for joint practices with the Vikings on Wednesday and Thursday. They play the Vikings on the road on Saturday afternoon. The Celtics waived power forward Miles Norris on Sunday night, opening up a two-way contract slot, and the New England Revolution beat DC United 2-0 on Saturday at Gillette. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More of the Christian Arcan Show coming up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Do you feel any pressure of Tom Brady? Like, is there an aura, like a TB12 sort of hanging, especially now that there's literally a statue for the guy? Do you feel that at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say pressure. I think it's just appreciation for what he did here, how he played the position, you know, how he loved to win and wanted to win and how they did win. I think that's the biggest part. And I think definitely just try to, you know, watch an old tape of him with some of the same concepts of how he did things is pretty cool, you know, to watch. But for there, I wouldn't say pressure. You know, just trying to, you know, I was drafted maybe 5 years after he left here, so I don't think, wouldn't say really any pressure.
Drake May on earlier with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens there, WEEI Afternoons. It's Christian Arcan here. This is the Christian Arcan Show. If you'd like to chime in, you can do so at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We are broadcasting live all over New England. Red Sox baseball will be coming your way here in about 45 minutes with the Mass Mutual pregame show, but wanted to react to that and something else about Drake May that I happen to see, or I guess not see, in this list from Dan Orlovsky ranking the best NFL QBs in seven different categories. And Drake May not really on too many of them, so I'll get to that in just a moment. But I thought that was an interesting sort of back and forth there, because I remember Jimmy Garoppolo, the year when Brady was hurt. And no, when he was suspended, not when he was hurt. The year he was suspended for the first four games from Deflategate, 2016. And he didn't play those first four games. And I remember Garoppolo got the start. And in the preseason, they had put up this giant Tom Brady banner. You remember this? It was a big banner out there, you know, sort of in the back end zone, took up like an entire wall. It was this giant, giant thing. And I remember people saying, you know, is that really fair to Jimmy Garoppolo? Like, he's out there, he's trying to start, he's trying to do his best. And meanwhile, here's this big Tom Brady banner, which was, in fairness, like 100 times bigger than the statue. And it's a big statue. But yeah, I remember sort of thinking, yeah, you know, for a guy like Garoppolo, with Brady still very much on the team and Brady jerseys flying off the shelves, and he just won the Super Bowl a year ago and like everything else, like that's a very different setting and situation than Drake May drafted 5 years after Brady's got, you know, like he's right about all that. You know, that whole thing, there was a quarterback, there was two quarterbacks between him and Tom Brady. There was Cam Newton for that one magical year, and then there was the Mac Jones experience. So I kind of think that all the Brady-related pressure is kind of over with. And you hear Drake May talking about, yeah, if you go back and watch his old tapes and I try and execute things the same way, like he's talking about, you know, like the four horsemen there in Notre Dame back in the day, you know, like he's talking about a different sport. But yeah, you know, there's still, you could learn some things from Tom Brady. I think everybody could. But yeah, I mean, listen, it's a brave new world. It's a new day, and it's a new Patriots team with a new quarterback and a guy who, while I think he's been very impressive in camp so far from what I've seen, I think Drake May has been very, very good. I think he's looked good. He's made good decisions. I think that in the joint practices and all the camp footage that I've seen, he looks strong and like a leader and accurate and everything else. But then you get out there under the lights, have a couple of nice checkdowns, have a couple of good runs. There was that nice touchdown run. But as Andy said, and you know, you only get to see these guys for a couple of series, that was a hideous, hideous fumble. I mean, just hideous. And you would think that one of the main things for him is, all right, well, you got to be cutting down on these turnovers, Drake. Like, this is your the main sticking point for you. Far and away, ahead of everything else. Yeah, better decisions in the pocket, sure. Better this, better that, okay. Number one, though, is taking care of that football. And that wasn't an errant pass where a defensive back made a great play. That wasn't a unblocked free rusher coming in and taking his head off and he fumbles it. That was a situation where he had time to look downfield. He had time to fight off the rushers. And as he was going down, he just said, ah, to hell with it, and just threw it up in the air.
And he's not the only quarterback to ever do that, or the first one in the Patriots uniform to ever do something like that. And I don't want to beat the kid up too much here, but if you're going to talk about Drake May in the terms that I hear him talked about, and the terms that I talk about him in myself now, then that has to be part of the conversation. Now, Dan Orlovsky, who loves quarterbacks more than I love anything. Like, you know, and I'm a lover of many things, but I don't like anything or love anything in my life as much as Dan Orlovsky likes anybody who plays the quarterback position. And I could tell that when we interviewed him, and he just went on and on about how good Mac Jones actually is and all these other things. Like, he really, if you're a quarterback and you play in the NFL, Dan Orlovsky likes you. And that is a fact. And anyway, there's a article on ESPN.com right now from Orlovsky, and it is ranking the NFL quarterbacks by trait, best arm, accuracy, and more. And the different categories are arm strength, ball placement, mechanics, decision-making, pocket presence, rushing ability, and second reaction. And you don't see Drake May here really at all for most of this. Arm strength, not in it. You got Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jackson, Stafford, Mayfield, Burrow, Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, and Jordan Love. Ball placement, Burrow, Daniels, Jackson, Allen, Mahomes, Stafford, Tua, Purdy, Mayfield, Geno. Anyway, that's his top 10. Mechanics, Burrow, Daniels, Stafford, Jackson, Allen, Stroud, Geno, Dak, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert. Decision making, Burrow, Allen, Jackson, Daniels, Mahomes, Stafford, Herbert, Tua, Jalen Hurts, and Bo Nix. Pocket presence, Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes, the same guys. Stroud, Purdy, Allen, Smith, Baker, Bryce, Jaden Daniels. Rushing ability, it's got to be in here, right? Nope, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, Allen, Daniels, Fields, Mahomes, Murray, Herbert, Purdy, and Williams. Then you get to second reaction ability. And that's when the ball is snapped, everything breaks down, the defense wins the play, the guy's running for his life, then what? And this is where Drake May finally appears on this list. It goes Jackson, Mahomes, Allen, Daniels, Hurts, Murray, Burrow, Williams, May, number 9, and then Bo Nix, number 10. And he doesn't really say too much about it. He says that the Patriots would be smart to let May loose on these type of plays, especially because they improved his supporting cast. Having better playmakers means it's more likely someone gets open late in the down. I kind of agree with that last part. Drake May, when he improvises, can make some pretty electric things happen on that football field, no question about it. But improvising and sort of broken play and running around and snap decisions and all of that also can lead to a hideous fumble like we just saw on Friday. So, you know, it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. One way or another, it's something that Drake May certainly needs to work on and certainly needs to work right out of his game. And with that, it's 6:30, so let's get to our headlines.
This is 6:30 Headlines.
All right. Today was the last day of Patriots training camp. And the Patriots will head out to Minnesota tomorrow. Joint practice coming up with that Brian Flores defense on the Vikings. And their last session today was shorts and shells. It was a faster walkthrough than normal, according to reports. Wasn't full speed, definitely not full contact, but they were moving a little bit quicker, according to what everyone was saying there. The Patriots offense did better today than they did on Sunday when they were in the red zone the entire time. Drake May was efficient, had touchdown passes to DeMario Douglas, was connecting pretty well with him. One thing that people noticed today and that a big takeaway was is that Kyle Duggar continues to be working with the second team as other safeties and defensive backs are starting to make themselves known. Duggar may be on the chopping block a bit here, a bit of a shame, but the reason why I mention all of that at all is because I am a believer in Kyle Duggar to an extent, and it has nothing to do with his ability or really anything else. The reason why I'm a believer in Kyle Duggar is because I am one of the only people, not just in New England or in Boston or on an Odyssey station or anything else, I'm one of the only people in the world, on the entire planet, that predicted the Patriots would draft Kyle Duggar. And now, before you say BS, Arcan, no you aren't, I absolutely was. You can ask Adam Jones, he was there. He was there when I called this one. And it was funny because I think the year before was N'Keal Harry, right? So it was N'Keal Harry and then Kyle Duggar after that. Jones predicted Harry the year before. And then as a joke, we were going over some of the defensive backs and I see this guy from Lenore Ryan and I was like,
yeah, I'm going to put this guy down because I had no idea who the Patriots are going to be gunning for. But I was like, all right, let's just for fun throw down Kyle Duggar from Lenoir Ryan. And sort of as a joke, that was my pick for the draft pick. And we did one pick. We both picked one player. My guy was Kyle Duggar, and I was right. And unfortunately, this was before legalized sports gambling. So I had no way to bet on Kyle Duggar being the Patriots' first pick that year. It wasn't the first round pick. He was picked in the second round. But I had no way of actually putting any money on that. Even like $1, if I had put on it, I'd probably be retired by now. You know? I'd be somewhere. I'd be with the Hillman down in Nantucket right now if I was able to bet on that Kyle Duggar pick. But unfortunately, it was before those sorts of things were legal. Anyway, Kyle Duggar, I don't think that he's necessarily a guy who is potentially long for this team and certainly not long for the starting lineup. He's a guy who I think does have some real skills and real abilities, but is someone that's kind of easy to fool, easy to get to bite on play action, not really great in coverage, can come up and hit on the line, you know, definitely has that kind of talent as a strong safety. But this is a team now that I think is going to need to have some more protection in the back end, and Duggar just doesn't provide that. So we'll see what ends up happening. Ramondre Stevenson, not there, out for the second straight day. Nobody was asked about it, which I thought was weird. No one asked Vrabel about it. No one asked McDaniels about it. So we don't know where he was. But with Stevenson, Gibson, Travion Henderson, I think you got something there in that running back room. I think there's a chance that, you know, Gibson isn't anything special, but last year he was a good change of pace back and eventually became the guy that you wanted to see with the ball in his hands because, you know, you had Stevenson fumbling so much. And now Travion Henderson. I think we all were, as fans anyway, thinking about the offense and rebuilding the offense, all kind of hung up on the offensive line and the wide receiver position, and I think we were right to be. But you forget sometimes that you can hit on other positions, which you weren't even really maybe even expecting. Like, I think we all thought Travion Henderson had big play potential, but to see him take that first kickoff to the house and see him hit that crease and just boom, goodbye, here come the turbo jets. And that opened a lot of eyes. It opened my eyes. That's a guy who I think could be a real big play guy for the team this year. Now, that being said, I thought that about Marcus Jones a couple years ago, too. So sometimes these things aren't always exactly what you expect them to be. But there are, right now, I'd say, with the wide receiver room still a bit of a question mark, the offensive line still a question mark, your running backs and your tight ends, it may be that's who you build the offense around. You know, your quarterback who's able to check down and run when he needs to and get away from broken plays. He can go downfield when he absolutely has to, but does he have the type of targets that can reel in those type of passes? That's a fair question. I think it's a question that Mac Jones certainly would have liked to have had a different answer to. I remember Mac, even when things weren't great, every once in a while he'd drop a dime right up there, and Devontae Parker or, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, somebody would drop it. that would take away what could have been a potentially narrative-changing highlight. But now, you know, your tight end, pretty strong room, you know, with Henry and Hooper back now, and your running back room, I think, is potentially a nice, versatile, power, speed, receptions. Like, I just think that those three guys could potentially do a lot of things here. And that is to me a promising development, because I was sort of looking at the running back room as just kind of a means to an end, right? Okay, well, yeah, you hand it off to Stevenson, you hope he doesn't fumble. You know, you'll have Gibson out there for a change of pace, and you'll have Henderson out there as the third down back. But are any of these guys going to actually produce anything? Are any of them going to be productive? I think you feel a lot better about that now. I certainly do. You know who else I feel a little bit better about too was Kyle Williams. Kyle Williams did not get a catch in his preseason debut, which I didn't like, but there was a couple of times where you saw him get open on replay, and Dobbs either wasn't looking there or he just missed him. I know he missed him on a slant, and I think that again, you know, it'd be better if he was out there reeling in grabs and making highlight plays that we could all share and retweet on the social medias and all, but the fact that he's getting open, Drake May will hit him, I think. I'm sure he's going to be thrilled to see guys out there getting open. Anybody's getting open. And maybe, you know, Williams isn't getting open like that against the top team. Either way, that I think is already, I think you got something there with him that you haven't really seen in some of these other first-year wide receivers. You know, I didn't really see a lot of Tyquan Thornton getting open in practice. I didn't see a lot of N'Keal Harry getting open in practice and in camp in their rookie years. And at least you're seeing it with Williams. Next thing they do is got to get him the ball. I'm interested also in this matchup. You got the Vikings, who, you know, it's the Vikings. It's an NFC team. But you got Brian Flores over there and Josh McDaniels over here. And those two know each other very, very well. And I'm not anticipating that it's going to be some chess match here in this preseason game or in these joint practices or anything like that. I don't think that that's what you're going to see. But I think you're looking at a very strong defense with a strong defensive coordinator who is gets results wherever he goes. And with Josh McDaniels, you're talking about a guy who's had some of the best results you could possibly have here as the offensive coordinator for the Patriots with Tom Brady. And even to a lesser extent, with Mac Jones in the Mac Jones year and even the Cam Newton year. Josh McDaniels put an offense together for Cam Newton that wasn't good, but it wasn't that bad. You know, like it was better than I expected. I think it was better than a lot of people expected, especially when you realized exactly how cooked Cam Newton really was. Then, you know, 1 year of Mac Jones, you did kind of ruin the kid by putting the bunch of bozos in there as the new offensive coordinators. But, you know, for that 1 year, you really had something there. People thought you really had something there. People were calling Bill Belichick a genius because of the work that Josh McDaniels was doing with Mac Jones. That's a fact. It wasn't because of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick had nothing to do with that offense. He didn't want anything to do with the offense. He just wanted to hand things over to his kid and have him be the new head coach defensive coordinator. That's all that was about. Bill didn't touch the offense. So he had Mac Jones over there with Josh McDaniels. It was just those two working together. And that was when Mac Jones was at his best by far. He's never come close to that again. And so that has me feeling a type of way about McDaniels, about Drake May, and the schemes and everything that you see here. I'm not anticipating are going to be what McDaniels has uncovered for you in the regular season. But I do think that, you know, you're starting to see in the very beginning anyway, Josh McDaniels get the idea, get a sense of what he has here with Drake May. It was a lot of checkdowns, a lot of stuff like that. I would expect you're going to see him go down the field a little bit more in this preseason game, too. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to take a quick break. There's your headlines from Patriots camp today, the last day of camp before they head out to Minnesota for the joint practices, and we got another preseason game coming up later this week. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in. We'll switch back to the Red Sox here in just a moment and get to your phone calls as well. It's the Christian Arcan Show here on
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list. And prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle.
but what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
WEEI.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. The Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
How would you describe what Mike Vrabel is trying to establish here in New England in terms of culture?
I think just intensity. I think just bringing it every day, leaving your ego at the door, and then from there, bringing it onto the field and finishing through the whistle, doing the little things right. And I think that's just trying to help us on the field when the little things, details and technique, come into play. That's what he's trying to establish.
It's Drake May talking about Mike Vrabel. I remember last year at the time, not really reading too much into what May was saying about Gerard Mayo with his only head coach that he'd ever had, of course. But in retrospect, I didn't really pay too close attention to it because I didn't think there was any chance that Gerard Mayo was going to get fired after 1 year. I just thought there was no way that was going to happen. I didn't think that Robert Kraft would let it happen. I thought it was going to be way too much of a reflection of him. I just didn't think he had the stones to do it, but he did. And going back on it now, we heard some quotes and clips and various things over the course of the season. Drake May answers a lot of questions basically the same way. You know, he has a way of responding to those types of things. He doesn't really swing too far one way or the other. And when he answers a question like that, like one about, Mike Vrabel and the intensity and bringing it every day and sort of all those things, it's easy to just kind of look past it like it's coach talk. But last year with Gerard Mayo, it was a different setting in general. And some of the quotes that I remember him saying about Gerard were, we all believe in what Gerard's doing. Like, we're all trying to follow Gerard and he's the head coach and, we gotta respect him, things like that. But it wasn't a whole lot of, he's really bringing the best out of us. And he's really making it seem like he expects a lot from us and various things that kind of sound just like normal coach speak, normal player coach speak, but we're kind of lacking last year, and you're starting to hear more this year from Drake May in just his second year as a quarterback in the NFL, which is an important factor to consider here because you don't have a big sample size with him. You don't really have a lot. But this is a guy who I think more than maybe any athlete in the region right now has more riding on this year. Jaylen Brown, it's going to be a big season for him in Boston. He's going to be the main guy without Jason Tatum. That's going to be a big season for him, of course. It's going to be a big season for Jeremy Swayman in the Bruins. If he can get back to some kind of normal form, then the Bruins could actually bounce back this year. And, of course, the Red Sox, you have a bunch of guys on the Red Sox who are all in the tough spot right now or an important spot right now. So I don't say this lightly, but Drake May is the quarterback of the local football team. He is in his second year, and he is considered around here to be the next guy. And if that's true, if that's what he is, if that's what he is going to develop into, and if you believe that he could even touch that type of play this year, then we're going to need to see it. And I don't know that we've seen it yet. I don't know that you can say that you've seen Drake May really, really wow anybody yet. And that's, to me, Bo Nix last year had some real wow games. Jaden Daniels took a team to the NFC Championship game. There were guys who weren't as good, Caleb Williams certainly didn't blow anybody away, and J.J. McCarthy was injured, and Michael Penix didn't play until late in the year. So you really only had a couple of guys to go off of. But, rookies are rookies, and Drake May played a good amount, and he did have some really nice throws. It's not like he didn't have any good throws. And he did have that brilliant play against Tennessee to send that game into overtime, and I think that gave you a glimpse of what I'm talking about. But that was not as many glimpses maybe as I was hoping to see. And that can change. I mean, that can all change here very quickly. We'll see how much time he gets against Minnesota. That's a good Minnesota defense and a good coordinator. A good game against them would certainly be impressive, and I think would have people pulling back in that direction of, Drake May is the guy. But that was not a great performance. It's not a great performance. A lot of checkdowns, and maybe that's not really his fault. But when he did go downfield, they didn't connect.
Mostly just, you know, throwing in the backfield to the running back, whoever it was. And then when the pocket broke down, he didn't do that one thing that we sort of liked about him last year with the bad offensive line running around. He made a bad play, made a bad decision, and that ended up being, you know, the main takeaway from that game. So he has a chance to come out there and fix it and rewrite the narrative, and I hope that he does. And with Mike Vrabel, I wonder exactly how that's all going. I wonder how that relationship is, because the quarterback-coach relationship is one that is just so important. And for Drake May, and not so much for Mac Jones, because Mac Jones was a different thing. It was him with coordinators mostly. He had the same head coach, and I don't think they had a particularly strong relationship. Drake May and Gerard Mayo last year, their relationship seemed a little bit uneven. And now this year, I don't know. It's too early to tell. It's too early to really tell what the Mike Vrabel, Drake May team is going to look like and how it's going to present itself and how it's going to manifest itself into this team being successful. I think that that's an important thing. It's really important for these guys to be able to connect. It's important for them to be on the same page. It's important for them to be, you know, pulling in the same direction and have the same ideas of how the team can win games and how the offense is supposed to run. And again, it's going to be mostly Josh McDaniels' field, I think. I don't think that you're going to be turning to Mike Vrabel for in-depth analysis on how an offense is supposed to go. But we've seen some kind of tough quarterback-coach partnerships, other than 20 years of Brady and Belichick, which was the best one maybe of all time. You know, we've seen some tough ones around here. Parcells and Bledsoe, you know, I mean, Belichick and Jones. You look around the league, there's been plenty of other quarterback coach combinations where you can just tell, like, hey, this isn't going to work. And Mike Vrabel's a strong personality. Now, I think he's a strong enough personality and Drake May's young enough that that could be a good thing. You know, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were a couple of strong personalities. Belichick was just a hard-ass, no-nonsense nothing, and Brady as a sixth-round pick fed right into that. That was perfect for him. They had a perfect symbiotic relationship in that way, at least in the beginning, for the first, 10, 15 years of it, before it all completely fell apart. But that was the type of relationship that I'm talking about. I don't expect Drake May and Mike Vrabel to mirror that. I mean, Drake May was the third overall pick. But can they get into that kind of groove? Can they get into, you know, sort of knowing what the other one's thinking and being able to execute in ways that are helpful to each other? You know, can Mike Vrabel put Drake May in the best position to succeed? And can Drake May go out there and actually execute what Mike Vrabel wants? Those are legitimate questions that we're all going to find the answers out to ourselves all together at the same time here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. All right, there you go. Your Patriots minute is over there as we move over to the Red Sox and this game tonight and this series coming up against this Houston Astros team that I think is looking for revenge. I'm sure they got their claws out tonight. They had a nice series against the Yankees. They had a nice series against the Marlins where they took 2 out of 3 against both of those teams. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have now lost 3 out of 4. And I don't want to be one of these people who says, yeah, you know, the win streak is over, so this team's back to being crappy again. That's not what I believe about this team. I think that they have plenty of opportunities to continue to pad their lead and push ahead and push away from these other teams in the wild card race, but not these 3 games. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here, you got Houston. And Miami's not too bad either. Miami's, they got some players on that team. They got some starters I don't want to run into. Baltimore, not so much. Yankees, I feel confident about, although who knows. It just seems like the Red Sox have owned the Yankees so badly that the pendulum has to swing back the other way with them at some point. But I guess we'll all, you know, we'll see about that in a couple of weeks. Right now, though, a Houston Astros team, here's what I'm mostly wanting to see. Are they going to keep crying about the Red Sox stealing their signs? Are all the teams in the major leagues going to keep crying about the Red Sox stealing signs? Is that something that's just going to keep on happening? Because I feel like everyone's crying about it and no one particularly cares. Like, you're not seeing big outcry across the league. You're seeing some players get all bitchy about it and say, you know, these guys, they're out there trying to figure out what grip I'm using, and they're relaying the messages and doing this, this, and this, which you're allowed to do, by the way, you freaking babies. And by the way, Houston Astros, how about a nice warm glass of shut the hell up, all right? You know, like, no one cares what you think about people stealing signs. You guys invented stealing signs. You guys are the only team that, more than the Red Sox, you can say, were guilty of stealing signs. It was about as blatant and obvious as it's ever been. They were right in the middle of it. And now they think that because what? Because they did it too, now they can call out a team for doing it legally? You're allowed to do it legally, guys.
It's when you start banging on trash cans and using buzzers and whatever else. The Astros had the buzzers under their jerseys, allegedly. Like, that was ridiculous. And that was, you know, a lot of those same players are still on these teams. So I would say, as, you know, you've heard Will Fleming and Monaco and everybody else say, and I believe it's Lenny DiNardo tonight on the call, but you've been hearing these guys all say the same thing. You know, get over it. Disguise your pitches better. Don't show the grip to the guy on second base. Just don't show him. You know, there's ways to do it. They have a thing now where the catcher doesn't even have to push down a sign anymore. All right, it all gets communicated through computers and things like that. So, you know, now it's really just about the grip. You can't hide the grip. You can't hide the grip of the ball from that guy on second base. That's a you problem, Houston. So, you know what? Keep crying about it. I hope you cry about it all three games, because that probably means the Red Sox are hitting the ball because they know what's coming, which, by the way, if you do it the right way, is totally legal. So, all that to say this. Hey, Houston, when? You going to cry about it some more? You going to keep crying about the signs being stolen legally, which you're allowed to do in baseball? You should know that. Ridiculous. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got a little bonus baseball here for you as we get to the Mass Mutual pregame show. That starts right around 7:10. We'll take a quick break here if you want to jump on. I don't think you can do it, actually. So, Stiz, if you want to go ahead and dump out of the line there, the delay is over. The phone lines are closed. It's just me here for the last couple of minutes. Red Sox baseball coming your way. Mass Mutual pregame show coming your way. One more segment coming up, though, after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.